Father, take this last message, this last meeting, and speak to our hearts, all of us, Lord. Take thy word and honour it, as thou hast promised, that thou wilt honour thy word above all things. And that's why we should also, Lord. Thank thee for the word of God. Come visit our hearts through it. In a very profound and meaningful way, with everlasting, eternal value attached to each verse in our hearts. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. We're conscious of that, and we ask thee, therefore, please, come thou and visit us and speak to our hearts through thy holy, sacred word. Come in thy mercy and protect us from all the powers of darkness and put a hedge around us. Brood upon us with the Holy Spirit. Wash me in the blood of Christ afresh, and anoint and visit and speak to the depth of every heart. Though brought in weakness through a weak man, make the word alive and honour it by the Holy Spirit in mercy on all of us. And so we ask these things in the name that is above every other name. The name of Jesus the Christ, God, manifest in the flesh. Who dwells in us. Amen. Please forgive me for these terrible thing of a man who somehow sometimes picks up I don't know what it is. It's not a cold, it's just a little bit of I think it's all the different flus, all the different climates of the different states, hot to cold and cold to hot, okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember, now, thy Creator. Remember now, thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure in them. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. 1 Timothy 5 verse 22. Proverbs 1 verse 10. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Verse 15. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil. The wicked are like a troubled sea. It cannot rest. It cannot rest. Isaiah 57 verse 20. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah 9 verse 5. Which drinketh iniquity like water. Job 15 verse 16. giving themselves over to fornication, giving themselves over to fornication, Jude verse 7, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly, Micah 7 verse 3, who hate the good and love the evil. Micah 3 verse 2. They that hate the righteous. Psalm 34 verse 21. They that hate the righteous. It is an abomination. It is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Proverbs 13 verse 19. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Isaiah 59 verse 15. Will be looked upon and treated as insane. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Isaiah 59 verse 15. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 verse 10, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11, 25. But rejoice, rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. 1 Peter 4, verse 13, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as an evildoer, verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. But let not thine heart envy sinners. Let not thine heart envy sinners, Proverbs 23 verse 17, which cause the righteous to go astray into an evil way, Proverbs 28 verse 10, and taketh away the righteousness of the righteous from him, Isaiah 5 verse 23, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived, evil communications, evil company undermines and destroys decency. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Let not thine heart envy sinners, which cause the righteous to go astray into an evil way, and taketh away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He that followeth vain persons, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Proverbs 12 verse 11. He that followeth vain persons is void. That is, evil associations is the result of rejecting the protection of your God-given conscience and common sense. Evil associations is the result of rejecting the protection of your God-given conscience and common sense. He that followeth vain persons is void of understanding, God says. Proverbs 12 verse 11. Fools, fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14 verse 9. And a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Fools make a mock at sin, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He will never allow the ungodly to influence him. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. He will never accompany the ungodly to their places of sin. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, if a man allows the ungodly to influence him, he will soon find himself accompanying them to their places of wickedness and find himself stooping to scorn, to mock, to despise the godly. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Psalm 141 verse 4. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Proverbs 24, verse 1. I could pursue a life of fun and ease with riches, games, and other things that please the hardships of my path I could evade and follow steps my Lord has never laid. But leaving all my hopes and dreams behind, I trust that I shall greater riches find. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. I could pursue acceptance from all men and fear the grave, the stake, the lion's den. I could pursue a well-known, honored name and seek approval, praise, and earthly fame. I choose instead affliction with my Lord, esteeming his reproach as my reward. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. To follow Christ is foolish to the world, but when the sinners into hell are hurled, and fools for Christ have not a single fear, then who was truly foolish will be clear. Without exception, every man's a fool. I choose for Christ and bear the ridicule. I glory in my weakness and my pain, for earthly loss will bring eternal gain. So, leaving all my hopes and dreams behind, I trust that I shall greater riches find. I choose instead affliction with my Lord, esteeming his reproach as my reward. Without exception, every man's a fool. I choose for Christ and bear the ridicule. This know also, this know also, that in the last days, in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Dangerous times in the last days. Perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want you to take careful note here. Careful note must be taken here that it does not say that all who profess Christianity will suffer persecution, but all that will live godly. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a great difference here, beloved. There's a great difference here, beloved. The next verse says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers, imposters literally, of Christianity shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Staggering words here. While they profess to know God, they deny Him in their works. Titus 1 verse 16. Professing to know God, they deny Him in works. In their works. Fearful. Here they are, who in their deception, that they are Christians, that this is Christianity, that they pursue truth. Oh, in their deception they deceive the masses in the light of the eschatology of the rest of the scriptures, especially the New Testament, in the last days of the evangelical cause of the gospel dispensation. Oh, the masses under the banner of Christianity are deceived in one place after the other across the whole New Testament. The masses who gather under the banner, false prophets, many, that is the most who are preaching. And they will deceive many, that is the most, the masses in the Greek. Oh, God warns, and I could go off on this. I preached a sermon once on Satan's servants in God's pulpits, just scriptures of what God says we have to do with. And then the deception they will cause in the masses across the world in the last days who believe it's Christianity. These people deceiving and being deceived. Ooh. Evil men and seducers, literally meaning evil imposters of Christianity in the last days, will wax worse and worse, God says, deceiving and being deceived, deceiving the masses who think this is Christianity in their deception, while they profess to know Him, denying Him in their works. While they profess Christianity, they will oppose the truth of this book. They will reject the truth of this book. How their minds can function knowing that what they base their faith on is the foundation they reject. But they will. In their deception, they will undermine and attack this holy sacred book. And they will undermine and attack anyone who dares to preach this book uncompromisingly. In its unadulterated statements that God wrote and gave man, they will reject, they will undermine
vehemently and aggressively those who preach and believe in the unadulterated, uncompromising presentation and statements from the pages of the sacred book everywhere across the world while they profess to be true Christians. What happens to the conscience? I don't know that they can do that. Yea, truth faileth. Isaiah prophesied of the gospel dispensation, the last days of the gospel dispensation, which is right now, trust me. Truth faileth, Isaiah says. The gospel according to Isaiah, the only other book in the entire Bible that is called the gospel, because the entire gospel was written in Isaiah 500 years before it happened. And so much the most quoted book of the Old Testament and the New Testament, quoted by Christ more than any other book in the Old Testament, because it's all concerning, even the prophecies concerning the gospel dispensation. And he was prophesying of this dispensation in the context, in the immediate context, in Isaiah 59, verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Second Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. God warns. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. God warns. Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, God says. Over the centuries, the faithful preacher has climbed in solemnity, solemnly and prayerfully, the steps of a wooden structure known throughout Christendom as the pulpit of God. Over the lectern of that wooden structure hung a velvet cloth upon which the words, "Thus saith the Lord," were embroidered in gold. But today, the faithful preachers across the world climb a wooden structure, prayerfully, solemnly, but fearfully, conscious that they do so at their own peril in this day and age. And that as they open the sacred pages to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord," a noose is placed around their neck, beloved, across the world, the Western. They're conscious they climb a scaffold now. That wooden structure has become a scaffold to a faithful preacher. And as he opens the Holy Scriptures to say, "Thus saith the Lord," a noose is placed around his neck and he knows it. On the one side, the hangman and that scaffold is the law of Western countries across this world, other countries long ago, but now. Angered that he may dare
proclaim, thus saith the Lord, from that and the pages which they have outlawed as hate speech and defamation, defamatory. Angered and waiting judgmentally and angrily for him to dare in this time after they have outlawed and proclaimed these things to be hate speech to those whose lifestyle contradicts the word of God. Oh, he's conscious, that preacher, throughout the whole world, trust me, that freedom of speech is denied him in that pulpit with that book, but given to all who oppose that book, who hate and reject the true teachings of that book. It's given to them everywhere. Freedom of speech, but it's denied him. It's denied him. On the other side of the pulpit stand the religious lost, the blind leaders of the blind in their masses throughout the world under the banner of Christianity, fearful, indignant that someone has left that would dare to pronounce the judgments of God upon sin, dare to proclaim explicitly what God says in his commandments, in his commandments against sin, and his coming judgments on all who will not repent and seek his grace, which he will give to anyone, no matter what sin, to repent and be delivered. Oh, his judgments. They're the religious lost, the academic, religious, blind leaders of the blind stand angrily, fearful that someone will dare in this generation to actually say that, to actually preach that. Oh. The preachers across the world stand up there knowing they do so in peril as they open their own peril. As they open the pages of this book, conscious that they stand now at their own peril upon a stake that wooden structure today is nothing less than a stake across the world upon which they are bound and tied. Why? Tied and bound by their calling from God. God's commission to them. And their responsibility to the souls who will go to eternal damnation if they don't warn. It's not aggressiveness. No, but there's far more to it than that, beloved. They are conscious as they stand there with all true Christendom that something far more is at stake than what is happening across the world legally against preachers. They are conscious of something far more than one aspect, one sin. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't stoop to single out one sin in Romans 1 because there's 28 and each one is damnable in the light of all scriptures. Be careful to single out one. When you might be holding, you see, adultery, all these things, murder, these things in the light of the New Testament, you don't have to go in physically, but he that looketh on a woman, just looketh on a woman to lust after, hath committed adultery with her, already in his heart. Murder, he that hateth his brother, is a murderer. God says, God sees things so differently to the physical act than we do and judge the same things. They don't say, this is a different concept of judgment. God judges you as if you've done that. In the context, and every sin I could elaborate and expound on, that God damned, I don't stoop to single out one. No, that's not in me. people as if that's the only sin and the most damnable sin and depraved rubbish. No. The preacher of any discernment with all Christendom who have any discernment is far more fearful of something else. They're conscious that this is merely paving the way, opening the door to something far more grave than this is one sin. Opening the door, paving the way, where every single thing in this book will be banned as hate speech one day. You think I'm lying? You think I'm exaggerating? Just wait. You will remember these words, every one of you, and soon, I guarantee you. This is just opening the door to ban as hate speech, as defamation, those whose lifestyle and choice of lifestyle contradicts this book and is condemned as eternal damnation by this book. And don't think it's just going to stop on one thing. This has just opened the door. That's all that's happening. Satan is not going to rest until he knows what he can do now. This is all that's happened, sir, and that's why we're fearful. What we're conscious is happening, what we're conscious is all about, if we have any discernment at all of what is going on. Be careful, beloved. Be careful here. Preachers are full of fear. Everywhere. At the cost and the consequences they are about to face if they remain faithful to this book, whatever the law bans and condemns as hate speech and defamatory, and will enforce, don't you doubt this. And you will be undermined, and every attempt to destroy you by the sinners themselves, of every single sin, beginning with the one they've already got right, if you dare preach that. Oh, everyone is conscious of the danger we put ourselves in. Jeremiah cried out in chapter 20, verse 8. Jeremiah cried out fearfully in chapter 20, verse 8. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. The word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision, a danger, daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire, a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Oh, how many preachers across the world today, oh, how many preachers across the world today are crying out like Jeremiah did, I dare not. The consequence, the cost is too great. The consequences, I dare not preach these things anymore. As they are banned, I dare not touch. It costs too much to face this as a human. The great question hovering around the world today, across the whole world, trust me, is, will God eventually say of this generation, they were not valiant for the truth upon the earth? Jeremiah 9 verse 3. They were not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Oh preacher. Even things without life even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound. Except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7 onwards. Oh, preachers, set the trumpet to thy mouth for God's sake, and soul's sake. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Hosea 8, verse 1. Set the trumpet to thy mouth. Take the sword of the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, verse 17. For the Word of God is quick, living, alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, piercing, God says. Hebrews 4, verse 12. In Acts chapter 7, as Stephen preached the word uncompromisingly in its context, men were cut. Men were cut, the Bible says. Cut to the heart. Verse 54. And stopped their ears. They stopped their ears, verse 57. And cast him out of the city. Verse 58. And stoned him. Stoned him. As John Huss of Bohemia climbed fearfully, prayerfully, solemnly a wooden structure. From which he would proclaim his last defense of truth in the gospel before he was burned to death at the stake. As John Huss climbed that wooden structure as a faithful preacher of the Word of God, no matter what the consequences. He was called upon to recant or perish. Reject your beliefs. Reject your teachings. Reject the Word of God as it stands, that we will not hear and not accept. As he stood there bound to that wooden structure, in faithfulness to God and man, his last defense of truth in the gospel, he cried out as the solemnity of the crowd just waited, in our silence in the freezing cold in the mist, watching him. To preach truth is more important than life. To preach the truth is more important than life. It is recorded that as men watched in their masses, his skin melting in the flames, he didn't curse God. He shook the powers of hell and sang as they saw his body melt. He sang praises to God. The great Leonard Ravenhill, the great learned rabbin who cried, in this crucial hour of human history, in this crucial hour of human history, let me fill up the sufferings of Christ. In this crucial hour of human history, let me fill up the sufferings of Christ.
Do you cry it out? Or are you not valiant for the truth upon the earth because of the consequences as individuals, as preachers? I have one final discourse of just scriptures to the nations who reject God. And what God says, the reasons they reject and how they'll do it, and what the consequences will be on every nation that does it. I won't bring that final discourse tonight, but I will before the story is ended. Fearful verses that God addresses nations, all the nations that forget God. Will be cast into hell, the masses, because of it, eventually. The consequences before they're cast into hell upon the world. When the leaders and the religious leaders, kings of the earth and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What does that mean? Let us set ourselves free from all this bondage and slavery to God. Oh, be careful. The warnings of God right there in the Old Testament are speaking to today. Not the Old Testament, trust me. And all that the New Testament says, confirming who God really is addressing, in what age and what time of the crucial hour we're living in, and what the consequences are going to be upon this world as a result of what's happening. Because the leaders of the world and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, because they feel the pulse of the population who voted them into leadership, wanting depravity, wanting to be freed from those, and hating those who still believe and impose and make them uncomfortable and condemned in the pulpit and out of their sin. It's your life that will make you be persecuted because it condemns them, what you are, sir. That the Bible can preach, but your life can bring just as much condemnation. If you're faithful to God, that is, not just profess Christian. I would like to bring that before the end of this too. I won't tonight, though. But I ask you, all of you, to look at this on the internet, including the last discourse of just scriptures addressed to the nations of the world who are doing it, beginning with America and your leaders. And every country in the West. And what God says he's going to do to you. And then it's up to you whether you reject that too. And what God requires of Christians, just the last moments of world history, that he requires just a number of passages of what he expects of us now. I probably will never be allowed back in your country with the verses I'm going to bring in their context and all together, which is where they really find authority.